This is the 20th season of Bass Talk Live. BTL is presented by Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFTCO, Pro Guide Batteries, Spro, Gamakatsu, The Bass Tank, Denali Rods, Beatdown Outdoors, and Sunline.
BTL coming at you.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of BTL Bass Talk Live, where we are going to talk about bass fishing. We're going to talk a lot of West Coast bass fishing. I talked yesterday in the show when I did the rundown. I think we started out with the Clear Lake, the one bass Clear Lake open out on the West Coast, and then worked all of our way over to Florida and absolute slugfest across the board. But you guys know me. I love the West Coast vibe. I've got a couple buddies out there. We have Ken Mon who talks about it. I actually owe Kent Brown, formerly known as the West Coast Czar on BTL. I ran into Kent at the Bassmaster Classic, and I have to get Kent back on the show 100%. I'm glad I reminded that. I need to get him on. But a really cool tournament that went down on Clear Lake, and we'll talk with today's guest because I've spent a little bit of time at Clear Lake, but it was a long, long time ago. And the thing that sticks out to me, though, there's a couple things, but one is there were more wild turkeys around Clear Lake where I was staying than I had ever seen in my life. And anytime you went outside of our VRBO when we were covering the Elite Series, that Byron Velvic won on the BV3D Rego bait with the, well, we'll see if our guest today, it's Austin Bonjour, who is also a champion on Clear Lake. He just won the Clear Lake Open, the one bass Clear Lake Open. Dude, it's 6:30 in the morning. Thank you for getting up and jumping on BTL. I know you've got a young family. I know you've got to be absolutely exhausted, but thanks for jumping on BTL this morning.
It's an honor, Matt. When you messaged me to jump on, I mean, I've been a fan of the show for a long time, and this is awesome. I'd wake up at 4 a.m. if you asked me to.
All right, so you're what, 30 years old?
Just turned 30.
Do you remember Byron Velvic in Velvic's Corner with the BV3D and the Rego, and
then
he had all the salt? What kind of bait stuff? He had like the paper plate, and he would like use like a plastic knife and like put the
sauce it all dialed in. He had his own little kitchen right there. He was saucing up his swim baits. I remember that on TV still. I didn't get to go to that event. Clear Lake's 320 miles from my house. It's like a 6-7 hour haul still. So, but I did watch him do that on TV. Pretty nuts.
It was cool. I got to actually watch that in person. Was just a couple of years. I mean, it was like, what, 4 or 5 years after the Bass Tricks and after what Kennedy had done.
Kennedy did.
Yeah, because remember, he was throwing the Huddleston, I believe, and did not even realize that there were not trout in Clear Lake. He just assumed that there were trout in all California lakes. And then that was when the giant schools or swarms of them would come out under the docks after his stuff.
Groups of girls. It's the same now. They're just a little smarter.
But the one thing I remember, so is that still called Velvic's Corner where he caught that?
We call it Velvic's Corner, yeah. Or you can call it, I guess, Ken Ma won in that region of the lake, but it is Velvic's Corner. So, but you could kind of give it Ken's little flair too if you want. Throw Ken in the mix if we want to rename it at some point. But whole outer corner is where, Byron made that famous. Those fish just attack hitch in that lake, and they just like sit out there in the mud and stuff. But the lake had a pretty bad drought a couple years ago, and now it's full. There's brush and stuff all on those flats, so it gives them that to stage on now.
What I remember was it was the smartest thing I had seen at the time, because you know how it is, you're a tournament fisherman, you can't dictate where other people are in their boats, but it was kind of open where he was fishing, and he made a line of marker buoys. It was back in the day where everybody carried 5-6 marker buoys because, he like put a line out, and he basically was like, hey, I can't tell you where you can or can't go, but it'd be awesome if you stayed behind this line of marker buoys while you watch me win this tournament. And everybody stayed behind the line and then went nuts every time he caught one. I was out there taking photos for for Bass Zone at the time with Harold Allen.
Wow. That's how you call, you know, you're dialed in when you're doing that.
Yep. But congratulations. This looked like an absolute slugfest. We've had Billy on. I've talked a lot about One Bass stepping up their game this year, partnering with Bassmaster, with BASS, to where the top five anglers in each of these opens and then the U.S. Open as well get a spot in directly into the Bass Nation Championship, where then the winner of that goes straight to the Elite Series. The top three go to the Bassmaster Classic. We've talked about the payouts. There's a bunch of stuff that's going on the West Coast. The one thing that seems to be tried and true year in and year out is One Bass, WON, which stands for Western Outdoor News. So there it is. There's the hat right there. Talk about your decision to fish those this year. Are you fishing all of them? You said it's a heck of a drive. I mean, dude, just to get to that tournament and fish it, you're out a lot of thousands of dollars, especially living in California.
California is a monster of a state. Like, people don't realize how far we drive just to get to like one of our three Toyotas or one of our three One Bass, or now five One Basses. I'm going to fish what I can for One Bass this year. I threw my name in the hat for the three Toyotas. I haven't done a full season of the Toyotas since I was 21 years old.
Wow.
And so I'm back when we had old Ron Lappin, ounces are money in this game.
Oh yeah.
Settle down, sis. Yeah. So I'm excited to do that and support them. They need the numbers too. And Billy's doing a great job of pulling numbers. And I think the partnership with Bass is huge. And I think maybe proving that we got people out here that will throw their money into a bigger tournament. Like, there is, we do have the boats out here. Billy's proving that. Hopefully maybe we can even get more interaction from Bass in the future out here, because we're kind of just out here doing our own thing.
That's what we've always talked about is the West Coast, and it does kind of come down to numbers. I think what there were 170 boats in the Clear Lake Open, which is insane, but the Toyotas pull 60 to 80 depending on which one it is, which I think is in Bass's hesitation as far as, can you fill a open field, a 200 boat open field, when you pretty much can guarantee if you go anywhere, what, east of the Mississippi, you got 200 plus boats in it every single tournament at $1,800 a pop.
Yep. No, it's crazy. Back east, people love bass fishing. Out here, people don't even know what it is for the most part. We're just like this weird cult society of like the 0.1%ers out west.
I know. I kind of like it. It's got like a little bit of mystique around it, especially after all the guys that have come from California and then made such an impact on the national scene. But what does it cost you? So right now where I am to fill up, it's $3 a gallon.
Oh man.
For both the truck and the boat. So like with the truck I've got, it's $100 to fill up the truck, and then it's like $130. $150 to fill up the boat if everything is done. So I'm full boat, full truck, $250 ready to go fishing, and we'll hit zero traffic on the way to the lake. What's it like out in California right now?
Well, I think yesterday I was paying gas when I was pumping. It was like $5.50 or $5.35 a gallon, and that's for 87 unleaded. And it cost me, in my work truck, I was filling up $140, $137 to fill up my truck. And my boat, to be honest with you, at Clear Lake, I knew where I was going to be fishing, so it would be scary dangerous to try to fill up that nitro that's sitting outside my truck right now. It's got a 72 gallon gas tank in it.
You have a nitro with a 72 gallon gas tank?
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. It's a 2015 Nitro Z9. It was a Josh Bertrand's tour boat, in 14 or 15, one of those years, 14 probably. So it may be his rookie year boat. I'm not sure. And then my tournament partner bought it from him. But yeah, it's a beast. Like when I went to Lake Powell for the Western Regional last year, the last Western Regional we'll ever have, I was running up the San Juan. It was like 80 something miles one way. And I was getting back with plenty of gas every day.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I can't even, that's the only time I filled up my boat was when I was on PAL and actually Mojave too for the U.S. Open when Bertrand won the first Mojave Derby.
All right. I want to break down this Clear Lake Open, but I've known your name. You mean you're a handful of one of those guys who's been out there, who's in the mix, who's a solid West Coast angler. But what's your story? What's your background? How did you end up to where you were at Clear Lake on the 17th launching in that tournament? Just kind of let the fans kind of get a little bit of backstory before we dive into your 33-pound opening day effort.
Yeah, a little bit about me. You know, I came from a fishing family. My dad's a big-time fisherman and hunter, so I think that's the same with a lot of us. You had somebody that influenced you. And I think I said it on stage and I won. I was like, this is the reason why you take a kid fishing, because I don't go fishing with my dad. I'm not here talking to you and doing something that I'm a super passionate about. And anybody that knows me is I'm a huge time fisherman for anything. I'll fish for carp, catfish, bluegill, bass, nice. Ocean right here. I'm 20 minutes from the coast right over there, those mountains. So I can go catch surf perch, striper, coastal stripers, rock cod, salmon, halibut, all of it right over there. And then we have four awesome little lakes in the central coast of California. So the availability of fishing is all around us. So we do have that. And that's my childhood, was fishing and hunting. And it made me who I am today. And that all those years of hard work, fishing ponds, breaking into ponds, getting kicked out of ponds, breaking back into the ponds, going to little lakes, like fishing out of aluminum boats and an old Skeeter and then an old Ranger, just working steps all the way to that moment on stage. It was just, I was overwhelmed with emotions when I watched that scale hit 2405, and I knew I needed 19, and I knew I had it when he's like 19 and my scale and my Rapala said 23, and I almost started crying because I was like, oh, I got her finally.
What'd you win? I know you won a boat.
I won a Ranger Z18 with a battery, a lithium battery, a PowerPole charge system.
Oh, nice.
You know, it comes with the 150 Merc Pro XS and a $17,000 check.
Wow. What'd you do with the boat? Is that for sale? Did you sell it already?
It's right behind me, actually.
But, what is that status? Oh, there it is. If someone's interested in that boat, is that thing for sale?
For sale. Right there. It's all wrapped up like a Christmas present.
All right. And the best way to get a hold of you is to get on social media, your Facebook, Instagram, shoot your message.
Yeah, I'm pretty involved on my social media platforms, and I try to get back to everybody. I love all you guys. I'm a true bass nut, and if you can hold a conversation with me and I can hold a conversation with you, we're friends. And there's a lot of us out there. So love you all, and that thing will be for sale. It's a beautiful boat. Oh my gosh. Just
what hit color up my, is it?
It's like a dark black with it's a glitter rocket. Very shiny. And then it's got red stripes, the red Ranger stripes down the side. It's beautiful.
I always think it's ironic. It's funny. So like bass fish, you get all these like old crusty tough dudes and stuff. And then like just the more glitter we could put on the boat, the better. Like I got at Bass Cat that I'm picking up in after this next tournament. And it's like, I'm like, make it the glitteriest boat you can. So it's like platinum on silver on other platinum. And the rest of it's like, oh yeah, we're going to make it glittery. I've always laughed at the glitter in the fiberglass. I've never understood like how that became a thing. Cause like you look at like all the other boats. So like the Go Fast boats and the, like none of them have glitter in it. They're all flat.
Flashy.
Yeah. But you get guys bass fishing. They'll eat like three freaking chili dogs the night before, get up at 4 a.m, get out in their glittery bass boat. It's always cracked me up, but I guess it's just part of the culture.
It is. It's now a thing. The shinier the boat, the better, I guess. Yeah. Like when you look at it in the sun, you got to put your glasses on. It kind of hurts your eyeballs.
So how long have you been guiding then? Cause I also know that you do some guiding.
I've been in business now for a couple months, up and running, legit licensed, bonded, and, I've had a handful of trips, but I'm a Monday through Friday plumber. I'm a turd chaser. I have a service van right there, and we run around and change water heaters, unclog drains, dig up people's front yards from water leaks. And we do it all: cut open ceilings, water leaks and ceilings, sewer repair, new construction, and we stay pretty dang busy with that. And I have to get you on my calendar. Weekends, I can do weekdays, but I just got to let work know ahead of time.
What ponds are we guiding on?
We got Santa Margarita Lake. Dude, bitchin' little lake. It's a mini clear lake. Ask Jared or Nick about it.
Really?
And then there's Lopez, which is Jared and Nick's home lake, mm-hmm. right next to it. Those are our south lakes. And then we have up north, we have Nosy Minnow, or Spotted Bass Lake, and then right next to that is San Antonio, and that's got largemouth and smallmouth in it. And they're all full right now. We finally got rain a couple years ago. So
a lot of pressure on those lakes. A lot of pressure, or they kind of, you, not many guys target bass on them?
Oh, they get hammered.
Oh, they do.
They get hammered. But like our Spotted Bass Lake can put up with the pressure. It's a larger reservoir, and the spotted bass are dumb. And then Santa Margarita just gets absolutely thrashed, and it's our little gem lake full of big largemouth. And I think they put a limit on the lake. If there's more than 70 trailers, no one can launch.
Oh, so you're either there or you're not.
Yeah, 70 is a lot on that place. 35 trailers at the two parking lots for the two launch ramps. It's insane. Those fish are very educated.
Clear water.
It can on be. All of them? No. Dirty, clean. Yeah, I mean, we got our seasons over here. Usually, like, we don't get rain year round like you guys back east, and thunderstorms and crazy stuff throughout the summer. We have like such predictable weather. It's like we get rain or we don't, but it's going to be between January and March, and then, you know, then we have the flower season, then we have fire season, and then we have winter. And that's it. And then so when we get all the rain in that springtime, you know, all our lakes, if we do get any rain, it usually dirties up all the ponds, and they'll be muddy, and it takes a while for all that mud to cycle out the overflow, like out the dam, and then have the running tributaries flushing in that clean water. So like this year's a high water year. It's just starting to clean up right now. Like, I haven't sight fished at home at my local lakes at all. The first two bedfish I caught this year were day three of the open. I caught two off the same bed.
All right, let's get into the open then. 170 boats on Clear Lake with the practice, with that field. It's not a big lake for that many boats, is it?
No, it fished pretty small. It fished pretty small. And then with no cut, and I think most guys stayed in the north end, that big bowl where I won. So it was, you kind of got to, like, it's like a chess game out there with that many boats. And a lot of people don't like to move. So you just kind of, you got to wait till stuff opens up, and you got to keep your rotation and your game plan honest. And hopefully it works out, because there is fish in all those areas. People find the same fish all the time. These guys are good, and those fish don't leave. They're there for a reason, and they're at those stop signs. You just gotta hit the timing right, and have a bait that's a little like a pattern, a bait that's working better than anybody else. So
I was interested reading how you won this tournament. Giant Glide. Is a 9-inch bait a giant glide? Do you consider that a giant glide, or is that like normal tournament?
An average glide over here is that 8 to 9-inch glide. You know, I mean, I don't even throw the small. I don't throw little anything under that really. But I mean, there's guys, some of my best friends that make swim baits or have bought like $1,000 swim baits, and they catch the crap out of them out here, and they're like 14 inches long. You know, it's crazy. Like, you look at some of those guys' front decks at Clear Lake, the local dudes, the good old boys club. I mean, they got swim baits that'll scare. They look like a limit, like a fish you would put in your live well and be like, oh, that's a keeper. You know, that's a 16 incher, but it's a 2-piece or 3-piece glide bait.
That's still going strong out there. The glide bait scene, the hard baits, all that. Because I obviously first heard about it on the Big Bass Posse DVDs, or the DVD that I got where, you know, the guys were all swinging them in. I think Velvic was in like a Coca-Cola jersey or something in that. There's just like so many cameos in that. But then as you get to more tournaments and tournament stuff, like you don't hear about the big glide playing. Like you've seen Jakobsen and Polinick, but I mean, dude, those are 7-inch baits. Those are 6.5, 7-inch baits,
Tournament baits, I guess, right?
Like, but a nine inch glide is a tournament bait on Clear Lake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look back in 2007, swim bait, it was a, you know, 8-inch Huddleston. Byron Velvic won on a swim bait. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is swim baits have always been the kind of a key to the victory at Clear Lake, one way or another. And the size, they have big bait in there. Like, that is the most healthy fishery I've ever seen. And I've been back east. I did the opens as a co. I've fished. It's not like I've just been out here. I've fished a lot of the lakes back east. Like, if you fish a Norman, I'm sure, you know, like a couple of those like regional lakes, like, they fish similar in their region, like the lakes that are near, like a Norman or a Hartwell or a Champlain, like the Finger Lakes up there. I'm sure like Cayuga fish is similar to Champlain, kind of, sort of. So I've got to see and read some of those lakes back east and see how healthy they were. California and Clear Lake, oh my God, I don't understand. It must be something in the water. That place is so healthy and fruitful when it comes to carp, tule perch, hitch, bass, catfish, you name it. And this is it's a hitch year right now. Sometimes the shad are real prevalent around the lake. And then right now it's all hitch. It's like that's why the swim baits are working even
what is a hitch?
More than usual. What is a hitch?
I've always heard, like, we use hitch color or hitch number two or whatever, all this out here. But I explain what a hitch is compared to a shad. Do it in comparison to a shad, because I think we all know what a shad is, but like, how does a hitch differ from a shad?
A hitch is they're indigenous. They're like my little lake, Santa Margarita, they're in there too. And they look like a Clear Lake hitch. I don't know how they got in there, whether it was through the Salinas River feed or they ended up in there by somebody putting them in there. I don't know. But hey, I've caught them and I've seen bass puke them up. They look just like the Clear Lake hitch. And I know the Clear Lake hitch have been in there for, because it's the largest natural lake solely in California. That lake's been there for millions of years. I don't even know, thousands of years. It's been there forever. And they're a native fish species. That and the blackfish. The blackfish, they're kind of like a hitch, but they get way bigger. And so a shad, you know, a threadfin shad, a big one's 4 inches long. You know, a big hitch is like 12, 14, 15 inches long. Those blackfish get up to like 16, 17 inches long or bigger. So, you know, just like those lakes that have gizzard shad in them, they eat the bigger glides, the bigger bait, versus like a threadfin lake when they have more predominantly gizzards. Out here, those hitch get big. That's why those big glides work. They get their heads beat in every day from the 40 guides that live there, the people that travel there, all the tournaments, and everybody's throwing that 7 to 9 inch glide. But not a lot of people throw a 12 to, you know, or 9 to, like 12, 14, 15 inch glide. Cause like I said, it's just so healthy. There's fish everywhere. Those bass are just so mean, so mad when they want to eat something. Cause I'm sure they get bothered with all the other game fish and other fish in that lake, bait fish.
Hold on. Is this a hitch? It looks similar to what I can't. So it's tough to find one. Is that a hitch?
That's a Clear Lake hitch.
Really? So that's what a hitch looks like right there.
Yep. And then they come in, sometimes they look more dark color, sometimes they look more brown color, sometimes they're more silvery. And right now they've had really good spawns. So they migrate up those creeks in the north west side, like kind of where I won. There's all those creeks that flow, and those when you get high water years, they run up on like trout and spawn, and those bass are just so programmed to what they do and their seasonal patterns that they just sit in the mouth of those feeder creeks and just gorge on them. They just gorge on them.
Run through your game plan then. Like I said, 3384, 2541, 2403, glide bait. You did do a little bit of the forward facing sonar stuff, and then also bedfish. So you're talking like three drastically different patterns to take home the trophy.
Yeah, we got there. It was a lot like when Ken won the MLF last time. It was like snow and rain and cold, and then it progressively turned warmer. It was kind of the same thing. It really was. And those fish were all in the same areas, that the ones I was fishing for in the Toyota anyway. So my game plan was, I kind of already knew where some groups of girls were. I just didn't fish them the right way last time. I didn't. I was drop shotting for I was landing a drop shot on their nose last time with a purple worm and catching them because they were more on the bottom. They started floating up and suspended. I didn't make the right adjustments. I think I finished 15th, and I really analyzed that, how I could do it better. And, I throw my swim baits like I do. I got on a pattern with a swim bait. The bigger fish were biting the swim bait, and I've been messing with that jig head minnow after I've watched a lot of those guys just kick everybody's heads in back east. I'm like, I got to learn how to do that. So I've been doing that at home here at my lakes, getting them pretty good, and I've learned how to do it. And like the hitch I talked about at Clear Lake right now, they're like single out individual hitch, and they just smoke them on the surface like trout. Ooh! And you'll see it all day long. But I think that jig head minnow is so good because it just single, they think it's just a, you know, people throw swim baits there all the time. They don't just pull a minnow across the surface, and they don't see it as much, but it was definitely catching some nice fish too. So that's kind of what I went for in practice, was fishing for those offshore fish. That's where they were, those big females. Ken got them in his area the last time. They had moved to the bank, but most of the fish I had found were still sitting like out a little ways. The groups of girls I found a month ago. And they like that swim bait, and they like that minnow. And I caught some minnow fish just, you know, going past my areas of fish and just fishing out in front of the, you know, tules out in front of brush lines. Go 100 feet to the left, 100 feet to the right. 100 feet to the left, and you'd see one, you just throw it. I would throw it everything I'd see with the minnow, and every now and then it would be a 6-pounder just out there 2 feet below the surface looking for a hit. Wow.
So you weren't like doing the thing where you're dropping to them. It was almost like a blueback herring type bite on that minnow, to where you were keeping it high and high in the up. Water column.
High up. Yeah, they were. That place is so hard to live scope because there's everything in there, and the bass blobs look kind of, because there's so many dang big ones in there that they look like the carp blobs. But you just kind of learn the mannerisms from fishing that week, what the fish kind of look like, and as you each day you're fishing that event, you're getting sharper on what things look like, in my opinion. And so I was just kind of learning what to throw at. In 3 days I weighed 2 bedfish. I weighed probably 3 or 4 on the minnow, and then the rest on the glide. And I mean, I caught a lot of nice fish on the minnow that just didn't go to the bottom line that I culled out or whatever, but they were biting that minnow really dang good. Under docks, out in front of tule lines, tule brush lines, like out in space, like you see those guys do in Texas. Clear Lake's a big flat bowl where I fished. So you just kind of roam around and see them and throw at them. And like you said, herring fish, they were sitting up high, just they were out there chasing hitch. So pretty crazy. That was my game plan, though, was to fish for those fish, and I found 2 baits that would that I could catch those, you know, 6-pound fish on. And I figured in my mind I needed, you know, all 5 to 6 pounders, you know, to win the event. And that's kind of what I did. I think I averaged like 27 and a half or 28 and a half a day.
Did you say at the beginning of the show that you had the 2 bedfish you caught were on the same bed and they were both sixes?
No, it was like a 5 and some change and a 3. It was the smallest fish I weighed in the entire tournament, but I needed that little bastard. Excuse me. I needed that guy so bad. And it was funny because that bedfish was my 2nd fish of the day, and it was like 11 o'clock, but I had 2 5-pounders. I had a 5-pounder on the swim bait, and I'd gone on a dry spell, and I caught that one on a bed. I missed the little male. But the way I caught that fish is they were so far back in the brush and the trees and stuff. And I was looking for him. I was like, oh man, look at that big female. And there's a buck there too. And Clear Lake's at a high water year right now. The water's up in the woods. And I get up in the brush and I'm laying on the front deck. My co-angler's grabbing my belt loop and my pants so I don't fall into the water. And I'm pulling trees out to make myself a hole. I did some weed abatement because I tried fishing for him for a minute and I just couldn't get my jig to where she was at. So I'm like, okay, she's locked. I don't care about that 3-pounder. I'm going to put my trolling motor on his head. And I pulled out. I'm like, okay, this branch is gone. Splash. And I broke all these limbs off, made a hole. And I was like, hey, dude, Troy Henderson, veteran, badass MF-er right there. I was like, pulling the tulies behind me. Pull me back a little bit. He pulls me out. so I had my trolling motor was more like 3 feet away from her face at this point. And I'm on my knees, just dobbing my jig. And I, the weed abatement I did, scared the buck out when I got that close. And, but when I, it also allowed me to get my jig, my Garage Tech bait jig right in front of her. And she went down and smoked it. And I had about 8 inches to set the hook. Like, I'm like, got her with 65 pound braid on my knees. And my guy's like over my head, like humping me in the back of the head. Go, go, go. Netzer. And that was number two. And I was like, yes, we got 2 fivers. I didn't care about the 3 pounder. I catch a 4 pounder on the glide, 4.5 right after that. And then I catch a 6, my big one for the final day was like a 6.5 on the glider. That brought me to 20 pounds with 4 on my Rapala. And I'm running around. It's like 1 o'clock. I'm due it at 4:50. I need one more fish to, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna go catch that buck just so I can have, that'll put me at 23 pounds. Mm-hmm. I go over there back to that hole I made. He's still sitting there. Catch him. That gives me 23, and I fish my heart, and I put everything else away, and I just had my 2 swim baits out, and I went fishing hard for that last. I made one big rotation around the north end, and I could have had a 30-pound bag. I just luckily it didn't matter, but I did have some missed opportunities for sure.
On those glide bait fish, are you just blowing them over the side, or are you letting your AAA guy net those fish?
Net them. Okay. Net them. Yeah, there were some big fish. And sometimes they're hooked like in the gills, like widow makers, when they eat that glide so good and you're reeling them in and you're watching blood clots come out from their gills. Mm-hmm. And other times they get it just right, you know, inside the mouth, barely get it. You know, swim bait fish come off. They're like, it's just when they hit the net, how many times have you seen guys catch a big swim bait fish and they're messing with the net, that swim bait's out of their mouth with leverage, and as soon as they hit the net and you release like any bit of pressure off your rod, that swim bait's out of there. I mean, it's a big bait, it's a big line, big rod, and you're wearing a pretty big hole in that mouth if it's like anywhere in the soft part of the mouth, like the fleshy part of the mouth, not back like in their gills or tongue or somewhere else scary. But
you mentioned your AAA. One of the cool things that One Bass does, we've talked about it on the show a lot, is it's a shared weight format. So everybody fishes all 3 days, and then you get a different AAA. And if he catches one, it counts towards your weight. If you catch one, it counts towards his weight. So your AAA on the first day also had 33.84. Your AAA on the second day, different guy, but he had 24.41. So it's kind of a, how did you work that? Did your AAAs catch any fish, or like, what do you have them do when you're gliding and making that, I'm just curious on how, if that was part of your game plan or if it was just a bonus if they added to the creel.
I just tell those guys to fish comfortable and kind of fish whatever they want. And I didn't have like an extra glide for them to use. Yeah. So I it's clear like there's fish everywhere. Throw a Cinco, throw a drop shot. I just tell my guys a shaky head, Carolina rig, if you can, if I'm sitting slow enough. But mainly, you know, just keep a worm wet. Keep something wet, that if you do anything to contribute, that would be great. My day one guy did not get a bite. Dude, we had 31.15 on my Rapala in 20 minutes.
Whoa.
Not kidding.
So you like rolled up and...
Dude, it was insane. It was 5 fish. And once I put the fifth one on the boat, I'm like, I got to weigh these things. Those all got to be 5s, right? And then it was like, they were all 6 to 7.
First thing in the morning, like first stop, like you roll up first thing, yep. First morning of the tournament. And were those all glide fish?
Those were all glide fish.
So you literally hit the spot. There was a school of 6s and you went bam, 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 30 pounds.
Someone was looking after me, dude. Like I'm not very religious. I have a lot of people that pray for me. I have a lot of religious people in my life, you know, but, and someone was looking after me.
So were you shaking?
I was blown away. I've been trying to build my YouTube channel. So I was wearing my chesty. I have one GoPro and I filmed the whole last tournament. I just plug it into my power pack. I have a 512 gigabyte SD card so I can just run it all day. And, it just started acting up like around middle of the day. It was turning off, turning on. I'd catch a big one and Cole, I was beaming 6 pounders and my thing is off. I'm like, gosh, dang it. Like, this is the coolest day of bass fishing in my entire life. And my GoPro is acting up, but I did get most of that first day, and it wouldn't even really turn on the second day. And one of my best friends, Scott, he's like, dude, don't mess with it, just fucking take that thing off.
Yeah,
go okay. Fishing.
You did mention the YouTube,
but I got all those on camera, so I'll make a little edit and you'll see them, because it's crazy. You'll see me shaking and like just blown away.
I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, but I do my homework on on BTL, and I like to share this little from your YouTube here. I think we might have some audio here too.
I don't remember. Life before she came into the picture. Rob the beauty I was missing with.
I think her. That's all I could play without getting demonetized for that. But that did get a chuckle. I was watching some of your YouTube stuff, and you went like three whole verses on that in the tournament.
And I got interrupted.
So
yeah, I love that song. Awesome. My wife's my best friend. One of my best friends. He's inside right now, taking care of two grumpy little babies. But I just did an Instagram reel with that song with her in it. And I love that song because that song is like, you know, your wife, your girlfriend that, I mean, she's the one that paints the picture, you know.
I muted the sound on that, but are you working a glide here?
That's an A-rig.
Oh, okay. A-rig.
A-rig. That was a big one.
This is the Yoda, the Toyota series.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, they were biting the A-rig. That's up in Velvick's corner right there. So you
okay.
That's, you know, essentially that is Byron Velvick's corner right there. Ken Ma won in that region. I don't know where, but up in that region somewhere. And Velvick is over behind me right now, like out in that bay.
What percentage of big bass on Clear Lake do you think have been caught already? Like, is there an untouched population at all? I don't see how there could be on that fishery.
No, you can't catch them all. You really can't catch them all. Like, that place is insane. Once you have that mentality, like, I was crushing them in practice. And I never crush them in practice. It just worked out for me. But you got to keep getting them. Like, every day, if you expect to win, you got to have 25-plus on a bad day every day. And you... on a one-day event, you can't win with 25. But if it's a three-day event, you got to have 25-plus every day to 30. And you got to know you're getting them even in practice, because every one you catch, there's 10 that you didn't catch, or 20, and they're all the same size. They're just schooling. Oh, man, look at that picture. Oh, happy boy. Look at that smile.
Yeah, that's also with the trophy and what is that, a 6.5, 7-pounder?
That's the one that was the 6-pounder that got me to 20. That was my number 4. I only caught 5 fish the last day.
Oh, geez.
So that fish, to me, won it. I don't get her. She comes off, I lose by a pound.
But you were saying that there's, you can't catch them all, but a lot of those big fish have seen baits. They know what's up. Like, it's not, you got to really trick them.
You really got to trick them. You got to trick them. You got to have the bait. What I've learned, me and my buddies analyze a lot, you got to have lures that have, like, secondary action. Like, something that's not only gliding or whatever, but something that, like, does, when you hit your bait, it wiggles a little different or shimmies a little different. Like a jig head minnow, getting it to rock fully left and right is kind of a pain in the butt. But the more you get it to wiggle, I know you're going to get more wind knots in your braid, but the harder you can get it to wiggle, a plastic that wiggles a little bit more, like, secondary actions, huge on tricking those fish. But they're smart. They get thrown out a lot. And it's a lot of it's timing and, just having a bait that's a little bit, just have a bait that they're eating. And you it's still tougher than hell up over there. I mean, these guys weren't railing them. I wasn't getting them that good. You know, the first day was magical. I caught 2 30-pound limits. I caught a 30-pound limit in the morning, and then throughout the day, I caught another 30-pound limit. And then the second day, I caught 6 keepers. And you asked me earlier about if my co's contributed. My guy on day 2 caught 1. It was like a 370-something. I can't remember if we called it or not. And then on day 3, my guy, Troy, he had one hooked up on a drop shot when I was backing some tulies, and it broke him off. And then I weighed all 15 fish, if not 14 of the 15. I can't remember if that one went to the weigh-ins on day 2.
You like that format, though?
I love that format. Oh, my gosh. It makes it so much more fun when you get in the boat with somebody and you guys are high-fiving and hugging, and you're a team. You're a team partner that day. It's very unique. And you're not trying to, like, boycott the guy in the back and, you know, you're helping him. You're like, hey,
here's... I've heard that word used for boycott the guy.
You're trying to help him out. You're like, you know, I have rods, like, I'll have a couple rods rigged typically, like, if I'm on, like, a something that I have extra baits to throw, and it's a kind of, I didn't have extra glides to give it somebody, but if I'm on a frog bite, this is the seventh Cal Open I've fished, so I've seen it in June, I've seen it in July in COVID when Bub won that one too, I've seen it in March when Wayne Brazil won it back-to-back years, I've seen it in April, yeah, I fished it a lot, so I've seen a lot of different bites, and like if I'm on a drop shot bite, here dude, here's, put your drop shot down with 6 pound on it, put this one in your hand with 12 pound on it, because there's meat in here, you know, kind of thing. Or if I'm throwing a popping frog, like put that for, you know, whatever they're throwing down here, take this popping frog, because I got rattles in it or whatever. And 65 pound braid, not 14 pound fluorocarbon. So here, throw this.
Is the glides, the tournament glide scene, not even tournament, but the glide scene out on the West Coast, there's no live cameras. You don't have a guy in your face with thousands of people watching going with the bait hanging out of its mouth. You didn't name them. I'm not even going to ask you to name them. But my question is that the last kind of secret frontier of tournament fishing? Are all the different glides and the tricks and what the guys do to have something that's kind of a one-off or unique that allows to trigger those fish? Is that, does everybody who's good out there have a couple of the glides that only come out on tournament day and go in the rod box before you get to the weigh-in?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, I wouldn't say it's the last frontier. I think the finesse game is really huge out here too. Okay. There's guys out here that are deadly with like lighter line and finesse baits these fish have never seen. I think that's another frontier. Where a lot of guys out here are so dang good, dude, with a spinning rod. And then they're also so dang good with a big bait and they can catch them. And not kidding. Like John Pearl, that guy's one side of his boat, his bass cat boat has 20 to 30 spinning rods in it. And then the other,
I need to get this guy on the show.
John Pearl. You need to get John Pearl on the show. He is a guide on Clear Lake. He is a fish. You know, those people that are fish. They're like part fish. He's part fish. He's just so good. But one side's all spinning tackle, and then the other side's like 20 rod. I think he uses like Douglas rods and Metaniums. So he's got like one side's like all like
yeah, this is $75,000 of rods.
Yeah, dude, it's like all Metaniums and Cronarks and MGLs, and then on the other side it's like all Stellas and Stratics. And that guy's, he bought it all from all the tournament winnings he's won. Gosh, the guy's a madman.
But that's the deal with the glides. Like, I mean, everyone has like their own little secret.
Yeah, they got their own secret glide. You know, like the glide, ironically enough, Johnny Pearl, I was, the glides that I was throwing, you know, I bought them from him. Okay. And, you know, and there's glides out there that have been out for a long time that still work really good. And then there's ones that people can't really get hardly ever. And you can't just go to Clear Lake Outdoors and buy them right off the peg and go out there and go catch them. Those fish don't see them as often. And that's huge for those 6 to 8 pound fish. Like you asked earlier, like how many times do they get caught? They get caught a lot. So those fish are like, it's funny. Like after you coal them and you set them on the side of the boat and they've been in your live well for a few hours, they'll just sit there like, oh man, I'm still in a live well. It's like, no, you're not, dude. Swim away. But they're probably just so used to being in live wells. So, and then there's also fish that live out in that lake that are like pelagic and they come in. I mean, that lake is 8 miles wide and out in the center is like 25 feet deep. I was tripping for last MOF. I had my lake master mapping lake level adjustment down for like 20 something feet one of my local lakes. And I get into Lakeport and I launch my boat and I'm like, my lake master mapping's gone. There's no north end. What the hell? I was mad. I was like, what? Great. I'm like, oh, my offset was off. So I put it back. I take the offset out. If you take 20, I think I had it at 22 feet and the whole north end was gone. It didn't start until like right at State Park. So if that lake dropped 22 feet, it would be gone. But those fish live out there in that big bowl and then they just in schools of hundreds. And then they'll pick up an area to flood to the bank, it seems like.
We were going to take a break, but we're just roll through and then we'll take a break after I let you go. But a couple more questions. One, sponsor support system, the team that's behind you, anyone that you want to, I'll put you on the spot here because it's easy to leave people out and then you go, oh crap, I forgot that guy 5 minutes.
Everybody watching, they know who supports me, but I got, you know, AFCO, like some of the best clothing. I'm always wearing AFCO stuff. You know, I have my Yuri on all the time. I got a closet full of Yuris. I hopefully I didn't butcher the name of that. It's the Yuri.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm good with it. That's how I say it.
Yeah, Yuri. But so I roll with that, and then all the time I got Taps Truck and Auto. They're a local company here in Paso, and they put their neck out on a chopping block for me and helped me for the MLF Toyotas and for the Wild West Apex and stuff we had going on. I mean, he helped me with that. Him and it's Garrett Mannion and April. I appreciate you guys so much. Jim's Pro Bass, he helps out Ken Ma as well. It's cool. 2 back-to-back winners from Clear Lake, both JPB. Let's go. And Stealth Sticks. I'm new with those rods, but they're awesome. They got a really good, really good team behind them, and they got a lot of stuff in the works. Garage Tech Jigs. He makes me custom little jig heads, like the minnow head I was throwing. I know no one else had it besides me and my roommates because I helped them design it. Cool, having cool people like that. My system's getting more dialed. You hear guys talk about it all the time, but when their system gets more dialed in, they start having better finishes, and it's the truth.
Does Garage Tech even have a website?
No, it's on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I was gonna pull it up.
You can look him up. You can look him up on Instagram, and he's just getting rolling right now. The guy's a whiz, but he's starting out with swim jigs, football head jigs, and he's gonna dive into that forward facing sonar jig head thing too, I'm pretty sure. He does A rigs. He's make some badass A rigs. Mm-hmm. A Seaguar. I've used Seaguar fishing line my whole life, but I just got put on their team this last year, and you know, Tattoo, I caught all those fish on 12-pound Tattoo on my spinning rod, and on my casting rod was 20-pound of VizX.
Nice. Are you doing you're definitely going to the Bass Nation Championship in 25. Not this year on Grand in 24, but it's for the next year in 25. But I mean, dude, you got a year and a half. You're 3 days away from the Elite Series and the Classic. I think that's a very under-talked about caveat that comes along with this win. I mean, you're there. You got a year and a half to get ready for it once they announce where it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I did I fished the last year they ever did, like, the other process of it. Like, you have to how it's been for 40 years, 50 years. Yeah. And I made the state team, went to regionals, and did that. I went to Hartwell when Will Davis won his second one. Back, I was there last year. Me and my family drove.
Yeah, so you made the national championship.
Yeah. I fished the national championship on Hartwell. Me, my dad, my wife and 2 girls rode around in this truck right here, 2,500 miles across the country with 2 crying ass babies right there. My wife in the middle, my dad here. And we made it, dude. We freaking made it. I have no camper shell. So every time we stopped at my mom lives in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So we stopped there and hung out with her. Hi, mama, if you're watching. And we would just have to unload all the high chairs, the totes of baby stuff, everything, everywhere we went. Me and my dad were just up and getting those furniture carts, you know, they have at the hotels, moving shit in and out, in and out, in and out. And but it was worth it. It was cool. I was actually on them pretty good at Hartwell, and it didn't work out. I weighed like 10 pounds a day or 11 pounds a day, and then hats off to Will Davis. He blew it out. He did that 15 pound a day mark. Seems like Hartwell is always 15 pounds a day in tougher tournaments.
You want to talk about pelagic fish? You could literally feel like Superman one day on that, and then I don't know what changes, because it's my favorite lake in the country. You go back and you're like I said, you're struggling to get above 10 pounds, and you're like, where are all these 3 to 5 pounders that were easily, you know, I was catching ease? It's like they're like ghosts out there. The guys just figured out, like, it's either makes you look like a hero or one of the most frustrating fisheries on earth.
Yeah, and I've never been there before. I did all my research and stuff, and the opens, they had so much cool, like, live coverage from the opens the last 2 years in the fall. You were on there. I watched you freaking catching them on a pink worm.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, Anderson Island, oh, this island, freaking, like, doing my damn stuff. I just didn't even go up a creek because I figured that's where you'd win on spots.
Yep.
And just, you know, I've fished all those islands. I had a pretty good rotation, but my brush fish were, like, cane pile fish. I had some damn magnums on the cane piles, but they were just very educated. Oh, my God, they're educated. You had, like, one throw at them.
Near Lake largemouth. Like, I mean, they know what's up. They're like, oh, there's a magic swimmer.
Yeah.
There's a 6-inch robo worm. There's a chrome Sammy. There's a shower blows.
Yeah. That's why Will Davis was like, you know, he probably just trolling motored around and fished and threw at fish, not like specific piles, because mm-hmm. Ever since forward facing came out and pissed a lot of old locos off that planted all those piles, because now anybody can find them. But yeah, no, I did fish the national championship, and that was cool. I did the 1 year, got to it. I was like, man, it was 50 boats. It was the coolest thing ever. You know, they paid you to go out there. And I knew none of this the last 10 years of my life, like how it worked, like pay you to go to the regional, pay you to go to nationals. They fill up your boat with gas every day. They pay for your hotel room. It was like the Bassmaster Classic or something. It was so unreal. I was like, I could do this every year. Every single year I would do this. I don't care if it's in freaking Japan, I'll fly out. And then now there's 250 boats. It's, you know, guys can, it's going to be different, man, but whatever. I still have a good shot to do well, you know, and it's a grind. It's a grind from out here, no matter what. So I'm up for the challenge for sure. Throw your name in the hat as many times as you can, right? Gotta hit it sometime.
Last question. Five years from now, like I said, I know you've got a young family, you got a plumbing business that you work for, you're on the West Coast. 5 years from now, fishing career, best case scenario, ideally, what are you doing on the water 5 years from now? Where are you fishing? What are you fishing?
5 years from now, ideally for me, I mean, I want to be an Elite Series guy so bad. Okay. And I don't know how I'm going to do that, but if that opportunity ever arose, I would love. I've been like Steve Kennedy, even before Steve Kennedy, like when Iaconelli's like freaking out, never give up, yeah. Never give up on his Cinco fish and that fuck, or in that little backwater with the duckweed or the grass, like watching Skeet and him battle it out on the Red River. When Skeet won and
on the spinnerbait.
And I was like, before Bass Live, I'm watching it on ESPN and it's like fish. They're going fish for fish and mm-hmm. or at the Louisiana Delta in 2011 or 12 when Kevin won and they're like the fog lifts and there's love like it, Aaron Martins and Polinick and for all these guys that's roping them on it. Square bills. Like that's the stuff I watch and I love that stuff. Like that's, you know, I loved all the old FLW stuff, but that's gone in my opinion. I mean, that old FW thing, that sucks. Like, why is the Forestwood cut gone?
You have like 19 different camera angles. You made the final day and they put that belt around your waist that had all the camera packs. The guy said it was like 35 pounds. And then they had like a boom mic with the boom camera stick. It's amazing anyone caught a dang fish as much as they were roped up with the boat next to him with the big tower mic.
Yeah. They're just weighted down with equipment. Like, mic weighs 5 pounds.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's the stuff I grew up watching, and I'm a competitor. I'm a bass junkie. That's why I'm here. And if I don't, you know, I would love to make it there, but right now I'm happy on the West Coast. I got my family, and we have big money tournaments out here on the West. Like I'm proof that anybody can do it, and I did it. You know, I did a tournament that's really, it's life changing for me. I don't come for money. I have a blue collar welding dad and a mom that made $20 an hour most of her life, so I had to really work hard for everything that I got, and this right here is gonna just, it's gonna help a lot for me to later on down the road. We'll see. I'll have some money in the savings if an opportunity ever arises, that's for sure. And just keep fishing one bass and in the MLS out here.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate you getting up early, jumping on BTL. Anything else you want to get in here before I let you go?
No, but thank you for having me on. I can't wait to be on again. I got to win more so I can come talk to you. So, hopefully I win Havasu. I leave on Sunday for that. And that's what I have. My truck's broke down. The truck I'm sitting in right now, transmission's blown. I take it to the shop today.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. We use my pop's truck with the last one. So I got to get this thing fixed. My boat has some power pole stuff. I got to get my power poles fixed and a couple other things. But other than that, we're ready to rock. Thank you, Matt, so much. You know, and everybody watching, everybody that supports me, helps me. Love you guys dearly. And I can't wait to be back on the show. Thank you.
Back to back, is the One Bass Open on Havasu coming up right now?
Or it's
is
the, it...
Major League Fishing.
MLF, okay. Because you still have what? Do you still have Havasu and Lake Mead and the U.S. Open?
Yep, and I'm gonna fish. I unfortunately, since I'm doing just the three Toyotas and then plus their championship, if I make it, I'm gonna do. I did the Cal Open. I would love to do the Lake Mead Open, and then I'll be at the U.S. Open for sure. So those are the next two. I can't fish the Havasu one.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, dude. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoyed the heck out of that. Like I said, I was like, we're gonna go 20 and take a break, but here we are, an hour later. So
yeah, you guys talking fishing. Can talk fishing all day long, I'm sure.
Yep. All right. Take it easy.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
See ya. All right. Austin Bonjour, winner of the One Bass 2024 Clear Lake Open. We are going to take a break and when we come back, hey, there is more BTL tonight. We'll talk about a live show that we are doing at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with a giveaway attached to it. So it's BTL on a Tuesday. We'll be back right after this.
The new Puma STS has been redesigned from the ground up. With the angler, design, function, and performance in mind, nothing on this new offering was compromised, and the only thing carried over from the previous version is the name. Based on the Soft Touch series hull that started with the flagship Jaguar, this new model is nimble and performs incredibly well at all speeds with either a 250 or 300 horsepower engine. Featuring a new 96-inch wide body footprint, this hull measures out at 20 foot 7 inches in length. Industry-leading design coupled with tournament-winning performance. The Puma STS from Basscat. Feel the rush.
In 2023, we became a household name in the crappie fishing world thanks to Power Breaks, the Game Changer. Hey, bass fishing world, buckle up, because you're next. It's going to be fun. Welcome to the next evolution of our product line. Power Break Sidekick, designed to install right on your shallow water anchors. We are the first and only fishing break company to offer a breakaway system. Just like with the Game Changer, the Power Break Sidekick has it as well. And it's not a matter of if you're going to need it, it's when. Power Breaks, the most durable fishing breaks available on the market today. Made right here in the USA with our rock solid 2-year warranty. Hey, not all fishing breaks are built equally, and you owe it to yourself to find out why ours are different. Power Break Sidekick. Order yours today at mypowerbreaks.com. You'll be glad you did.
Gamakatsu, the innovation leader in fish hooks, is launching Nano Alpha technology in 2024. Nano Alpha is a new finish available on Gamakatsu's most popular hook styles. It delivers 2 times slicker performance, 4 times better corrosion resistance. Nano Alpha technology makes the world's greatest fish hooks even better in 2024 to help anglers catch more fish.
Born in Japan, using technology, innovation, and precision, Sunline produces the widest selection of fishing lines at the most technologically advanced line factory in the world. Manufactured at the strictest tolerances to produce victories at the highest levels of tournament bass fishing. From household names like Christie, Swindle, and Cruz, to young guns like Cook, Logan, New, and Welcher, they all trust Sunline to take them to the top of the leaderboard. Choose the line that will give you the strength to guarantee your confidence. Sunline.
Oh, welcome back, BTL, on a Tuesday, wrapping things up. As I said, I do want to make an announcement. So tonight, which is April 23rd, if you're listening to this now, Thursday, I will actually be in Arkansas at Norfolk Lake with a live show from the Basscat Owners Tournament registration. I think Rick is going to be there. A number of other anglers are going to be there. So we're doing the live show from there, and then I'm going to go directly from there to Alabama for the 4th Bassmaster Open EQ on Logan Martin. So I got a busy week coming up. You know what? We can't do it tonight because I'm going to be on 10 Horse Monty tonight. I'll have to work with Frank on that. I'm glad I remembered that. No, 8, 7. No, we can do that. 8 p.m. Central. Yeah, so let's do 6:30 Central tonight. 6:30 Central tonight, and then I'll be on 10 Horse Monty at 8. I probably should get my schedule straight before I knew it. 6:30 tonight with Frank Scalish. So we're going to do day four on day two with a Q&A tonight, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we'll be giving away to one of the listeners a color number 7 spook. That worked out in the wash. We got that figured out. And then stay tuned to basszone.com for next week's schedule. We'll come back with a guide day. Next week, we just dropped another guide day with Trevor Lowe up on Mille Lacs last week, which is a really cool fishery, really opportunity if you guys have a chance to go up to Minnesota. And then we're back for a full week of live shows. And then we will have live shows from South Carolina the week of May 13th with the Outdoor Brands team media event going on. So all sorts of pros, all sorts of evening live shows, product shows that are going on that week. So like I said, big shout out to Austin Bonjour for jumping in the truck at 6:15, 6:30 in the morning West Coast time and talking bass fishing for a full hour. Hey, that's all we got for today. Tonight, 6:30 Central time, 7:30 Eastern time, live with Frank Scalish. We'll talk to everybody then. See ya.